Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, everyone. There is a really easy litmus test. If you are a Democrat running for president in 2028, you need to reject all funds from AIPAC, don't send any funds to Israel, and make sure you are a leading voice on calling out the violence against people who live in Gaza and the West Bank, the starving, the ethnic cleansing, and the settlements. Somebody who is leading the way on that is joining us today, Cameron Caskey. You may recognize him from...
Oh, stop.
You may recognize him from March for Our Lives. You may recognize him from The Bulwark. He ran for Congress in New York 12. Was it New York 12?
New York 12, baby.
Out of that, he got perhaps the largest win that any Gen Zer has gotten in actual substantive congressional politics. It is called the West Bank Human Rights Resolution. Cameron Caskey is spearheading this along with Representative Ro Khanna, and they are going to fundamentally shift the way that the United States recognizes Israel, recognizes the settlements, and calls out this violence. So, Cam, I genuinely want to hear your experience visiting the West Bank and then how it informed this legislation that you guys are passing.
Well, first of all, it's fun to be a white boy with a bromance with Ro Khanna because it's like me and Thomas Massey. So I'm kind of like the wokeified Thomas Massey, and that's a little fun. Ro and Massey are obviously spearheading and just absolutely dominating the issue on the release of the Epstein files. They are teaming up for the war powers resolution for Iran. And now Ro is introducing this sweeping West Bank legislation. And it is insane because Ro seems to be doing everything in the world at once. And I genuinely don't know how he does it. And there are hundreds of members of Congress, but he seems to be everywhere all at once. It's nuts. But yeah, I went to the West Bank when I was running for Congress in my short-lived, my short-lived and largely unfun congressional campaign. And it was a very interesting experience because I feel like we're led to believe a lot of things about Palestine, how it operates, and you know what the people there are like. And I just learned how extremely untrue a lot of it is. I visited refugee camps and more urban population centers, including refugee camps that had been blown up in recent IDF operations. I visited suburbs in very Christian areas outside of Bethlehem. And I visited Bedouin villages with a couple hundred people that date back to the 1940s, people who really just want to herd sheep and hang out. As a matter of fact, I was doing security one night watching for settler incursions with some of the villagers in Umm al-Khir, a Palestinian village in the South Hebron Hills. And there was a TV screen in the security room in the community center, which, by the way, Israel has a demolition order on the community center. And on the screen for hours that night was YouTube videos of people herding sheep. And I was like, oh my God, these guys aren't shepherds because it's the only way of life they know. These guys are shepherds for love of the game, baby. Like, they fucking love herding sheep. And for that, you got to hand it to them. These are the most locked in guys I've ever met. But it was just such a crazy experience because we hear so much of Israel's side of the story, and a lot of the pro-Palestine sort of side of the story that we hear, understandably, is about Gaza. But the West Bank is just this completely different situation, and Israel's tactics for choking them out are very different than what they're doing in Gaza.
And I want to hear exactly what you helped mold within this bill. So I'm reading right here that it calls on the government of Israel to halt demolitions, halt land confiscation, and halt settlement approvals. Can you expand on this? Can you fill us in?
So the very basic version is Palestinians have been living here since 1948 when Israel conducted the Nakba, which was a giant violent ethnic cleansing campaign to carve out what currently is recognized as the state of Israel. So Palestinians went to Gaza and the West Bank, and they are two very different political situations. Gaza is governed by Hamas and the West Bank is governed by the Palestinian Authority. In the West Bank, there are towns, cities, and villages where Israelis have started building settlements because they say, oh, this is our indigenous promised land of Judea and Samaria. We actually get to live here too. Like 1948 Israel, within the borders that are recognized in the Oslo Accords, internationally agreed upon law, that wasn't enough for them. They had to come back for more. It, whether or not it's a violation of international law, whether or not it requires violence to do, they just need more stuff. So they build houses, they destroy Palestinian homes to do it, and they choke out Palestinian life there, making it harder for them to build roads, making it harder for them to have power and electricity and water. And they are basically slowly choking the West Bank out to ethnically cleanse it. I say they are breaking Gaza's neck and they are slowly choking out the West Bank. But unfortunately, since October 7th, the settlement expansion has been wild. The settler violence has been absolutely out of control and has led to more people being murdered than in any of the large terror attacks you will see Israel cite as an excuse to commit these acts of violence. And Palestinians who have been living there for generations have nowhere to go. They are being driven off their land with nowhere to go. And it is this extremely dangerous situation. And there's this thing that a lot of people in the kind of Israel defense space like to, the more liberal people in that space, they like to act like the settlements are something that happens in spite of the state of Israel, not as a direct result of their policy. So with Roe, I sat him down when I got back from the West Bank, where I was in some kind of dangerous and precarious situations, not because of the Palestinians there, but because of the Israeli settlers. And I said to him, look, here's what's going on. There are all sorts of different tactics being deployed in the West Bank to make Palestinian life hell and drive them off their land. It is not like Gaza, where they are simply carpet bombing and sniping people in the line for water. What's happening in the West Bank is economic collective punishment, the destruction of the tourism industry, which is crucial to how they are able to maintain their livelihoods, the cutting of power and water, the confiscation of land for archaeological purposes. Israel will take a plot of land and send the government a picture of like some pieces of a broken clay pot and say, this is an archaeological site. We get to take it from the Palestinians. So I went to this city called Sebastia, which is one of the most ancient cities in the world. There was a Roman theater there. There was all this Roman architecture, all these pillars that date back again to ancient times. And Israel is basically putting them in this Sisyphean situation where they are constantly trying to build and develop for the people who live there. And Israel just blows their shit up every time. But again, this isn't a situation where they are just obliterating things with drone, with drones. Gaza bears virtually zero significance to the theocratic Zionist movement that runs Israel. The West Bank, that is that's where the money's at. That's the prize. So their tactics there are a lot more meticulous. And I said to Ro, we need to target these demolition orders that Israel places on people's homes. You can be in your house where your family has lived for generations, and Israel can show up, say, you have 4 minutes to take all of your belongings outside, and then we are blowing up your home. Blow up your home and give you nowhere to go. So I visited a school that was built, you know, for children. And after October 7th, there are now over 100 people, families living there because the refugee camps they had lived in were destroyed by the IDF. So to deal with the West Bank situation, you need to target all sorts of different acts of government violence. Because again, the state of Israel directly sponsors this. This is part of their government plans. And it's tough and it's complicated. And it's a difficult thing for people to wrap their heads around because again, they don't want to believe that the settler violence, which is something even Trump has signaled in opposition to the West Bank annexation. He hasn't done anything about it, but he signaled opposition. People don't want to believe that this is state-sponsored, and they don't want to believe that our money is going to it. And yet that's the nature of this situation. So it's something you have to tackle from all sorts of different angles.
Yeah, and I want to read a quick excerpt from Ro Khanna's statement. You know, what I really like about Ro Khanna is his ability to outmaneuver the Republicans with everything, with what little Democrats have at their disposal. So Ro Khanna has gotten more concessions than both Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries because he has just cleverly introduced discharge petitions, cleverly gotten people on the record voting against the Epstein file release, and then it ended up pushing through in such a way where even Trump caved and at the very last minute was like, fine, just release them or whatever. So he has a very clever way of maneuvering through the system politically, which I love. And his statement about this says, quote, the United States must stand up for the security and human rights of Palestinians and condemn the settler violence in the West Bank. In recent months, conditions in the West Bank have further deteriorated, with increased settlement activity and documented incidents of settler violence with little attention or accountability. He then talks about you, Cameron. He says, that is why it's so critical that we have leaders like Cameron Caskey speaking out and fighting for justice, and why I'm introducing legislation that reinforces the U.S. commits to human rights and civilian protection. Very well said.
Okay, wait, and then read my quote, because it's a very important thing to recognize, because I have a little bit of a grievance to air about my quote.
Quote, President Trump has signaled an opposition to the rapidly expanding West Bank annexation, and this is a necessary measure for Democrats and Republicans to unite behind the upholding of international law. It's a little bit of Zohran in there, how Zohran appealed to Trump's. And then you say, Democrats and Republicans can agree that U.S. taxpayer money being used to subsidize the violation of international law is an outrage, and Representative Khanna is introducing steps to combat
this crisis. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. So I basically sent the press director, like, 8 different blurbs when she asked for the quote that I could offer. And she ended up Frankensteining 2 of the blurbs together.
That's what they do. Yeah.
So what you get is this statement from me that uses the term Democrats and Republicans and international law back to back in 2 sentences, and is just the clunkiest sounding thing. So it sounds like I'm just droning on about, like, Democrats and Republicans, international law, Democrats and Republicans, international law. And I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to make that comment directly to the office, because they did their best to communicate the truth of these matters. But I sound like a fucking moron. I digress.
You're going to watch the final cut of this, and it's going to be something you said in the first few minutes spliced with one of your final statements. You're going to be like, what the fuck?
No, but like, it'd be like that. And I just, if that's anybody's first introduction to me, they're going to be like, wow, Cameron doesn't know how to cobble together a very coherent thought. But I swear, everybody, these were 2 separate quotes. And it's just that simple. But yeah, forcing a vote on this is very important. Biden had talked a big game about the West Bank annexation, wasn't able to deliver anything meaningful. And it's just something where I'm saying to a lot of the politicians I talked to about this effort, like, you're going to be asked about Palestine in 2026, in the midterms, Democrats and Republicans, you're going to be asked what you did about this. And I'm giving you the opportunity to provide an answer. Hey, stopping the genocide in Gaza, or if you're one of the politicians who likes to act like it isn't a genocide, stopping the atrocities that are bad, I'm not going to say genocide, but I'll say every other word, in Gaza is very important. But we also need to address the human rights crisis in the West Bank, because even if you took Gaza out of the picture, even if you just looked at the West Bank situation, it is still one of the most egregious violations of human rights on the planet right now. So all eyes are on Gaza. I was one of the men who coordinated my trip. It's a really nice guy who's sort of like a dad in the town that he lives in. I asked him when I came back, like, can I donate to your organization? He runs this nonprofit. And he said, thank you. That is very nice. Give your money to Gaza. Like, that's who needs your help right now. And his organization is struggling because they run tours. So, and they're not getting any tourists. Nobody's coming into the West Bank. But he said, We'll figure it out. We'll get through it. Give your money to Gaza. And there was this interesting thing with this guy, George, that really made me understand how different Western civilization is from the rest of the world. I didn't really realize, because I had never left the country before. Like, the first time I ever left the United States of America was to go to Palestine. I didn't realize just how much more isolated we are from each other here than people in other parts of the world. But when I went to Palestine, everybody everywhere I went knew each other. There was this sense of community, and there was this connection that people had to one another that is just not something we have here. I said to one of the Palestinian villagers I was with, a lot of them spoke pretty strong English, like, I don't know the name of a single person in the building I live in besides myself. And they were like, what? They were actually baffled, because they all know each other. They know how to accommodate for each other. They understand each other's situations. And they have this sense of just collective humanity that you don't get a lot of here, where everybody just feels like every stranger is just sort of like a threat, an enemy to us. But, like, you know, I walked into the West Bank thinking there were going to be 2 responses to me being Jewish. I thought there were going to be people who said, oh my God, we're so thrilled that somebody of the Jewish people is standing with us. This is such great collective solidarity. And then I thought there were going to be people who had a wary mistrust for me, because the Star of David is being used as this symbol of these acts of terror that are being committed against their families. What I did not understand was the third option, and the universally most common option, which is that nobody cares. Like, nobody gives a shit they're all just like, oh yeah, look at that. Anyway, so it seems as though there is a more clear and nuanced understanding of the difference between the Zionist political movement and the Jewish people as an ethno-religion with people in Palestine who have access to very few educational resources than there is from people in the United States who have like 3 master's degrees.
Yeah, very well said. And we should talk about this more as the bill continues to evolve and as you guys introduce it.
Got more coming too, baby. We're just getting started.
I'm going to link some resources below, including your announcement tweet and Rokana's website. But I appreciate you joining. You can find Cameron's social medias in the description below. Thank you, man. We'll do it again soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.